Blog Talk Radio.
Same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael Eric Cannon, and I am the spokesman for the King of Glory on Truth Ministry. And so it's good to be here just one more time. Whence then cometh wisdom? And where is the place of understanding? Seeing it is hid from the eyes of all living and kept close from the fowls of the air. Destruction and death say, we have heard the fame thereof with our ears. God understandeth the way thereof, and he knoweth the place thereof. For he looketh to the ends of the earth and seeth under the whole heaven to make the weight for the winds, and he weigheth the waters by measure. When he made a decree for the rain and a way for the lightning of the thunder, then did he see it and declare it. He prepared it, yea, and searched it out. And unto man he saith, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. So we thank God that we're here just one more time. It's of the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. So that is out of the third chapter of Lamentations, the Lamentations of the prophet, the weeping prophet. We call him Jeremiah. So it's so good to be here. And so, again, I welcome you to Truth Ministry. And I am your host, Elder Michael Eric Cannon, the spokesman for the King of Glory. And so we thank God that we're here. And we're continuing on in our the Godhead Only Believe series. So purposely dub this broadcast the Godhead, because there is only one God who is the head of all things. And so sometimes we wonder about the significance of one God, but it is so important. And so God is a jealous God. So that's why he said, don't have no other gods before me. And he's talking about gods with a little g. And so many times we've heard people say that David was a man after God's own heart. And one, and so he was a man. He came clean. He repented. He realized that he had sinned against God. That was the only matter that the Lord had when he was talking about his testifying and making mention in the scriptures about the patriarch David and saving only in the matter of Uriah's wife, Bathsheba, who was the wife of Uriah. So they you find that reference a number of times in the scriptures. But another thing that people do not say about David, and it was pointed out to me during my infancy as a young man in Christ, and that is another thing about David that a lot of people do not focus in on, and that is David didn't have idol gods. David said, "There is none other God but thee." So, unlike his son, one of the wisest men on the face of the earth that would succeed him, other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself, Solomon, he had many gods, because those women that he had, they had their own gods, and they turned it. His heart wasn't perfect, the scripture says, as was David, his father. So thank God for knowing that there is only one God, and it's so very important, like the scripture says, him only shall thou serve. And so that's what this is all about, the word of Godhead, and there's no such thing as no holy trinity. And, I mean, that's foolishness. I mean, that song, talks about blessed trinity and all that. Ain't no blessed trinity. That's a curse. The trinity is the devil and Satan and the serpent. That's the trinity. So there is no trinity. And so ain't no God in three persons. That is a lie. But he is God. He has many manifestations. And then three really important manifestations. He was the prophet that Moses wrote about. He is the priest even now that ever liveth to make intercession for us. He is the head of the church, which is his body, and in which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate. He is going to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So three important offices: prophet, priest, and king. So he is the head of the church. So the word Godhead is only in the scriptures three times. It's in the book of Romans. It's in the Acts of the Apostles, in the book of Romans, and in the book of Colossians, talking about Christ is in Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So a lot of people don't understand his eternal purpose and Godhead. And so the Godhead is not, as the writer Luke writes in the 17th chapter of Acts, like unto gold and silver. So we don't, you will never understand the oneness except it be revealed to you. And everybody don't know who Jesus is, and he is the Christ, he is the Christos, he is the anointed flesh of God. That's why he was saying, "I say unto thee," talking to Peter, "thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." And he was talking about himself, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, Matthew 16 and 18. And he goes on to say, "I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." So what he said was, when he said, "Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven," letting Peter know it was a divine revelation. So he wasn't building the church on Peter. And even though he called him a rock, that had nothing to do with it. But he says, upon this rock, talking about himself, "I will build," notice, "my church." There's only one church, and so we thank God for it. So that's why we want you to know, as the scripture says, there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So as Paul writes to the Ephesians, the church at Ephesus, one of his prison epistles, church that he started, letting them know their position in Christ, and it is only one God, so which they knew. So everybody don't know who Jesus is, and so you just don't hide, jump over the book of Acts and land in the book of Romans talking about confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you shall be saved. So no, he was already talking to people who are already saved. Ain't no just believe, but you got to believe the gospel. So that's what that I am endeavoring to do. You got to believe the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and the ascension and the sending back the Holy Ghost. Amen. And being born again of water and of the Spirit. So he sent the Holy Ghost back. So you receive the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will lead you to the water. You got to repent. Got to go down in water in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins and receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. Live a holy life. Got to be taught. Got to be in the church. And so you can be ready for his appearing, like I spoke of on last time, about his appearing, which we call the rapture of the church. And so, which is so soon to take place, and I think it's been a couple weeks since my last lesson, and that so much has happened, and so it's just sometimes it's what we call deja vu. Like, I've seen this movie before. I remember coming home on this past Saturday, and on the Apple phone, they had that news app. They'll send headlines pop up on your lock screen. That shooting in Philadelphia, I believe, at that synagogue. So, I mean, it's like these things are just etched in your mind. You're thinking, you know, just the thought was like, I've seen this before. So we can't, I mean, you can't be desensitized to what is going on. The violence in the land is a sign, is an end time sign, letting us to know that the Lord is soon to return. So that's one of the signs. So there's so many signs. And so here I am back again. I want to do another session on the end time signs, because we just can't, there's just so much going on, so much to be said about the end times. And a lot of people are not talking about it. And so that's why I say I am so grateful, I'm so thankful that I was taught it, because it opens up like a book. Every time something happens, it reminds you. That's what the scripture is written for, our admonition. And so that when we hear the word, be it preached or taught, it will remind us. So that's what happened to the children of Israel in the book of Hebrews. That's why he's saying how they didn't believe. And so we have to reflect back. Don't harden our heart, as in the 95th Psalm, he gives reference to in the book of Hebrews, today, as in the, you know, talking about in the provocation of the wilderness, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. So these things are coming to pass, and so many times people keep saying they wish it would stop. No, it's not going to. Yes, we wish it would stop, but it is a sign of the coming of the Lord, like in the days of Noah. It was a wicked time. And I mean, God repented that he had made man. So in other words, he just, he had a thought of, it hurt him, it grieved him at his heart because of the condition of the world at that time. And we know, according to the scriptures, it had not rained. And that is why people thought it was so funny. They could not believe it, that God told Noah to build an ark. And so in Genesis 6:5, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. It repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So that's the same thing Paul is saying when he writes to the Roman church, talking about all of the things that happened, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. And then Romans 6:23 says, but grace, you know, the wages of sin is death, he says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord because it was so horrible. And so this is why he makes mention. So this is what I've been trying to key in on, to zero in on, in these sessions when I made mention about the days of Noah and the days of Lot, pretty much more than anything, and how we searched the scriptures and were taught the scriptures out of the book of Matthew, out of the book of Mark, out of the book of Luke. And then John writes about the end time, about the end of false prophets and teachers and antichrist in his epistles. And so, and then Peter also writes in his letter. And then Jude also writes of apostasy and all in his one letter, one chapter that he writes. So this is why we want to move on today. So we know we can't exhaust it, but there is, and what I love about Blog Talk Radio has been around since 06, and still there are those who still have not heard about Blog Talk Radio. But one thing I love about Blog Talk Radio is every show is on demand. So this word is out there, so I can send it to Facebook, send it to Twitter, send it to LinkedIn. People who could not catch it live, they're able to catch it, to listen to the word that I put out there. And sometimes things are, people haven't heard of things, they're writing the scriptures, then they're new unto them. But it's still God's word, so that's the good part about it. And so as we go here, what we want to talk about here in the book of Luke, of Matthew on today. So we'll start off in 7 and 11. If you then, being good, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? So he goes on to here, therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. So he goes on here, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but every corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewed down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits shall ye know them. So I just want to pause right there for a minute, and I want to inject our call-in number should you desire to call in. A Truth Ministry, if you have a question, you have a comment, you are welcome to call in. Our call-in number, 929-477-2285. That is 929-477-2285. Should you desire to call in, you have a question, you have a comment on today, you are welcome. So also I want to reiterate, like I've said, I've been saying that I have relocated. I was in the state of Michigan all my life up until 2 years ago. Will be very soon, this coming December, that I have been in South Florida. I am north of Miami. I'm in between West Palm Beach and Fort Lauderdale. I actually live in Boca Raton, Florida, but my church, my new church that I go to, I belong to the Pentecostal Assemblies of the World, and my new church that I attend here in South Florida is called Vision Worship Center, Inc., and it's at located at 1071 Northwest 31st Ave, Pompano Beach, Florida, 33069, where Dr. Kevin Chanteloup is the bishop. He is the founder, and he is the senior pastor. That is Vision Worship Center, 1071 Northwest 31st Ave, Pompano Beach, Florida, 33069, where Dr. Kevin Chanteloup is the bishop. He is the founder, and he is the senior pastor. And so our order of service every Sunday at 7:30 a.m. is our worship service. Begins at 7:30 a.m. every Sunday. And also, our children's church alternates on second and fourth Sunday. But we also have what we call solution studies. Our Bible study is on the first and third Tuesdays at 7:30 p.m. And our intercessory prayer is at 7:30 p.m. on the second and fourth Tuesdays at 7:30 p.m. So, again, every Tuesday, the first and third Tuesday is our Bible class. We call Solution Studies at 7:30 p.m., and on the second and fourth Tuesday, our intercessory prayer at 7:30 p.m. And our worship service on Sunday morning is at 7:30 a.m. So that is Vision Worship Center, 1071 Northwest 31st Ave, Pompano Beach, Florida, 33069, where Dr. Kevin Chanteloup is the bishop. He is the founder and the senior pastor. You are welcome. God bless you. So as we move on here in our lesson, talking about false prophets. So this is a sign of the end of the time too, these false prophets. So we go on here as we were saying, when he was talking about the two ways and false prophets coming in sheep's clothing, inwardly are ravening wolves. And he goes on, you'll know them by their fruit. And then so he goes on here, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now notice who's talking. This is Jesus. He was the king. He writes to Matthew. Matthew writes He deals with the genealogies, and he also knows that Jesus is the king. He is writing to the Jews. I remember now the Gospels, we have to realize that they were still under the law. So there was 400 years, as the theologians call, the 400 years of silence between Malachi and Matthew. And so what that really means is, 400 years, God didn't say nothing. And so he didn't have to. No prophetic word, because that was the next thing was going to happen. Prophetic, it's 16 prophetic books. And what was going to happen? The prophetic was going to come to pass. The quote, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulder," Isaiah 7:14. "His name shall be called Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. Therefore, Isaiah 9:6, "The Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and shall bring forth a son, and shall call a child, and shall call his name, his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace." So that is prophetic. Why? It's because it was utterance. It was uttered by a prophet. That was a prophetic prophet. So there is no prophetic today unless we're uttering what they said. So, you know, it's too many times, you know, people you never heard. That's why I say false prophets. And I mean, it's a tough one, but I don't care. I was taught, and I'm not scared. And I thank God for this platform, because the point is, you never heard that term. Like I says, I've said, and I will reiterate, we never heard prophetic, flowing in the prophetic until the 90s. Apostles until the 90s, sowing a seed until maybe a little before then. People come up with that now. You know, they throw it, that's a whore spirit. You throwing money down at the altar. People, we did that in the strips club. You did that. You know, that is no way to give an offering. Throw it down on the floor or at the altar, as we say. You're throwing it on the floor. You know, that's that. That is not the way to get. And then they calling it a seed. So, I mean, this is it's tight, but it's right. So I thank God I was taught. And so not only that, but some of these things, because one of our leaders who passed in 1990, he actually publicly said that he felt sorry for us, talking about ministers and bishops and, you know, elders and pastors, that we were going to have to be dealing with this stuff that we are dealing with today. Knew exactly what he means. And so the point is, we were taught to nobody. My father in the gospel definitely stressed it. Nobody can stop you from getting in that word. And so that's why I have the wherewithal and the tenacity and it's in me to search the scriptures, because what you really have to realize, what Jesus says trumps everybody. So his words trumps everybody. His word is exalted above. He's magnified his word. The psalmist says, "Above all, thou hast magnified thy word, above all thy name." His word is forever settled in heaven. And so, and one thing what Peter did on the day of Pentecost, after he preached, he made he testified and exhorted, and he went on to say, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." So your soul is in your hands. So sometimes we have to make decisions. Our soul is in our hand. So that's what, in November of 1978, the people went to Guyana with Jim Jones and drank that Kool-Aid, literally poison Kool-Aid. I remember seeing on the news all these people hugged up, laying out dead from drinking the strychnine, whatever they put in that Kool-Aid. Why? Because they were deceived by a man. Which, if you come up with a lie like he did, you conjure up something out of hell, you are a false prophet. prophet. And so that's exactly what happened. And so I would never forget it. And so this is why we have to watch and pray. So we have to watch ourselves. So we, you know, people can believe so much in a man, but we were taught. And so that's how people are. We want to be, we want to identify, we want to be like somebody that we really are fond of, the old people would say, or we really admire, or we love their style. But we got to be like Jesus is what we got to be like. In our heart, we should want to be like the Lord. And so everybody, God made us all unique. We're helpers one of another. So people are talking about preaching like Paul and all that. And there's nobody who was that, even back in the early 1900s and the 1800s and then the 1900s coming in, you know, some of them, the dark ages, when God really began to pour out his spirit to break forth in California and places in the United States, and he's pouring it out and all over the world. You know, the devil thought he was shutting it down, but no. He said it shall come to pass, and Joel 2:28, shall come to pass, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon flesh. So God cannot lie. He can't lie. It's impossible, the Hebrew writer says, for God to lie. So he can't lie. So he's pouring out of his spirit, and it's shed abroad on us. And what, and the point I want to make is nobody that we can link ourselves back to heard Paul preach. They're talking about, well, maybe I can't preach like Paul, but Paul was a mighty man of God. He was the apostle to the Gentiles. So anyway, so he goes on here, not everyone is saved unto me. So this is Jesus talking. Lord, Lord, show it into the kingdom of heaven. He that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. We got to understand, he was God. He was the Son. He was still God. He never stopped being God. He was in the world. The world was made by him, and the world knew him not. As we read, when we come on, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, we beheld his glory, the glory, the writer John says, of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bear witness and cried, said, this is he of whom I spake, who was before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we received grace for grace. And he went on to say, for the law was given by Moses. He was a great lawgiver. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And so we thank God that we have the grace of God. And the Titus 2:11 says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. He goes on to say, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so remember what I just said. He is the great God and our Savior. And so he goes on here. Many were saying to me in that day, Lord, Lord, we have prophesied in thy name. So that's a question. And in thy name have we cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So that's why he says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him as a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. And that word doctrine is teaching. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. So he knew who he was. And so he came, this is what he said. When John came to him to baptize him, he said, I need to be baptized of thee. Comest thou to me? And he says, suffer it to be so, for thus it behooves us to fulfill all unrighteousness. He suffered him. So he baptized him. John the Baptist baptized the Master, the King of Glory, to fulfill all righteousness. So he said, he must increase and I must decrease. So John was executed. That's why he was saying, art thou he? Well, look we for another. All these things was happening. The blind was receiving that sign. The lame man walking, the dead raised, and the poor had the gospel preached unto them, just like the scripture says. So we seeing all kinds of things, all kind of people on Facebook Live, on Periscope. These people, they're actually creating their own platform, and they make sure, they already got it hooked up to PayPal. So they're asking, sow a seed. You ain't sowed, which you don't sow. Farmers sow seeds. That is not, the seed is the word of God. The seed, money is not a seed, and that is the truth. So that's what they want. So they're wanting, sometimes, many times, they're not giving you value, but they're setting up their own platform, and they're doing it sometimes, in some cases, for filthy lucre, which is one word, money. So, they ain't saying nothing. So you're not telling people how to be saved, then what good are you doing? You are not gathering with the Lord, you're scattering if you're not telling people what to do. So like we talked about the mystery of iniquity on the last time, so much happening, so the mystery of iniquity doth already work. So it's a mystery. Why would a man want another man? Why would a woman want another woman? Why don't people be satisfied with their own husband? Why not be satisfied with your own wife? But so the day of Christ is at hand, and so this is what we have to remind people, because God is not playing. So which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. So, and to trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. So this is what we're talking about. He got to get the church out of here, because he's got other things to do on his agenda. And flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is Paul had wrote, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God will count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all good pleasure, the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letters from us, that the day of Christ is at hand. That's what we're trying to say. And so these were the first first message of John the Baptist was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The first words of the Lord Jesus Christ's earthly ministry was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We know when you read the Gospels how they told him, the devil's, he's told them to hold their peace, that they should not make him known. So they were saying, we know thee who thou art. You're the Holy One of God. So are you come, they said, to torment us before the time? So this is what we need to know. Like, it's time, like they used to sing a song, get right with God and do it now. Get right with God, he will show you how. Down at the cross where he shed his blood, someone goes on to say, get right with God, get right with God. So we have to know what time it is. So he said, don't be soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter or some us. Is that the day of Christ is at hand? Let no man deceive you by any means. That day shall not come except there come a falling away first. That man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So we dealt with this on our last lesson. Who opposed and exalted himself above all that is called God, or that is worship, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember not. And when I was yet with you, I told you these things. This is Paul writing to the church at Thessalonica. Now ye know what withholded, that he might be revealed in his time. So for the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. So the word let means hinder. So the Holy Ghost, the prayers of the people of God is hindering the enemy, the devil, from working like he wants to work. He's working, but he can't work like he wants to. And so the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now hindereth will hinder. You know, he'll let it, will let, till he be taken out of the way. So then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness and them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And so he goes on here as he's writing to the church, we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, because a beloved of the Lord, because God had from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. So he goes on here, whereunto ye are called by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, neither by word, whether by word or example. So, let's see. He goes on to say, even before, that God hath not appointed us to wrath, but that we may obtain salvation. So this is like we were making mention about the mark of the beast, about the system that's already been set up. You got to have take the mark. It's in the 13th chapter of Revelation. So his number is the number of a man. As he goes on to say, 666. So let him that hath wisdom understand. So what he's not talking about 666. I mean, we all thought that and thought that and thought that. But actually, in reality, it is a three-digit system. It's right before our eyes right now. Like I've said on before, those three numbers, the CVS, whatever they call it, they got other code names that they call it, those three numbers on the back of your debit or credit card is what he is talking about, the three-digit system. So they call it a Vero chip. Those have been out for years. They said that chip is about the size of a grain of rice, can house all of our information. So they can put it in your head, forehead, at that time, which is your eye, or your forehand. It will have all your information. You cannot buy or sell. Save he that hath the mark. So people are prone, they're actually toned down or desensitized, and the way that's been done, they don't even realize it is tattoos. People got all this ink some people will take the mark. And when you do that, you sell your soul to the devil. You worship the beast if you take the mark. So if you don't take the mark, you're going to be killed. You're going to starve to death. And so some people will, because they're not going to worship the devil. They're going to have that much understanding. So he goes on here. Peter talks here. We have also a more sure word of prophecy as he's writing. So these are the last times as we understand here when he was writing about us and his divine power pertain unto, he's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that's called us to glory and virtue. He's given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. By these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. So he's talking about, so when you get saved, that's what he's saving us from. All that is in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, they are not of the world. They're not of the Father, but of the world. And he goes on to say, that's 1 John 2 and 15. And he says, the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. We go on here. Besides all this, give all diligence. After your faith, virtue, virtue, knowledge, and knowledge, temperance. Temperance, patience, the patience, godliness, the godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. These be in you and abound and make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. He has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall know never fall. He goes on to say, for so an interest shall be ministered unto you abundantly unto the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I will not be negligent, put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, be established in the present truth. So right now, you can repent. Right now, you can be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. Right now, you can receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. That is the new birth. That is present truth. At that day, that won't apply after the church is taking out of the earth. So he said, I think it meet as long as I am in this tabernacle to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. So in other words, he's going to die. His death was imminent, is what Peter is saying here. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunning, devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Case in point, one of the signs of being an apostle, you had to see the Lord. See, people don't like that. So what did they do? They were chosen by him. They were taught by him. They were eyewitnesses. They laid the foundation. They wrote the New Testament scriptures, and they died horrible deaths. I'm talking about the apostles. They died horrible deaths, except for John, who wrote Revelation, St. John, 1st and 2nd and 3rd epistle of John, and the revelation of Jesus Christ. He was the only one that was not a martyr. They tried to boil him, put him out in the isle called Patmos, but he was out there. He was for the word, for the testimony of Jesus, for the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's why he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord day. Heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Being turned, how he heard a voice that spake to him. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Have the keys of hell and of death. So this is what John saw in the Patmos vision, as we call it. And he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I'm Alpha and Omega, first and the last. What thou seest, Write in the book, send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, and Ephesus, and Smyrna, unto Pergamos, and Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. That's the age that we're living in now. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, being turned. I saw seven golden candlesticks. In midst of the seven golden candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, girt about the paps with a girding girdle. His head, his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. Hairs and head, white as snow, that's the Ancient of David, Ancient of Days. And so he goes on here, his feet like unto fine brass, if they were burned in a furnace, his voice as the sound of many waters, feet like unto fine brass. And he laid his right hand had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun that shineth in his strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. He laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter, the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. Seven stars are the seven angels, are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. So this is what John, that's another eyewitness, just like what I was talking about. To be an apostle, you had to see the Lord. So as John, as Peter writes here in 2 Peter 1 and 16, we have not followed cunning devised fables when we made known unto you the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, were eyewitnesses of his majesty, when he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came to heaven, came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the mount. Who is he talking about? Who else is up there? Peter, James, and John. So James and John also were in that mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, till the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So now these people, and this is what Paul was talking about in the 14th chapter of Corinthians, that Corinthian church, he was dealing with that. You come together, you all got a song, you all got a doctrine, you all got a, you know, interpret your own interpretation and a doctrine and your own little message, is what he was saying. So he goes on here. He's talking about false prophets in the last days. There were false prophets also among the people. And so back then, he's talking about, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, bring upon themselves swift destruction. Many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. He goes on here, for if God spared not the angels of sin, and cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah in the ashes, condemned them with an overflow, making them an example unto those that afterward should live ungodly, and deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. So in other words, lifestyle. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed, the word vexed, troubled, his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. So, but chiefly, them that walk after the flesh and the lust of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed, and they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusations against them before the Lord. These, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and they shall utterly perish in their own corruption, shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the day time. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings, while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and they cannot cease from sin, being begulling unstable souls and heart, they have exercised which covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumbass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. So he goes on, these are wells without water, clouds they are carried, that are carried without a with a tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. So there are so many people out there, they don't know what they're talking about. All they want is money. Like Paul told Timothy that the love of money is the root of all evil. And he went on to say, which while some have coveted after have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. In 1 Timothy 6 and 10, he goes on downward. Then he goes on to let him know, thou man of God, flee these things. Follow after righteousness and charity. And, you know, them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So, in other words, do the right thing. So, these people, they think gain is godliness. And so, this foolishness of this so-called, they take the scripture of 2 John, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prosper, but they take it out of context of 2 John, the elect, he's talking about the elect lady, no, 3 John, I'm sorry. 3 John, the second chapter, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, and whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. So he's talking about prosperity, spiritual prosperity. So prosper even as thy soul prospers. So the Lord promised to meet every need. So this prosperity gospel that these folks are on, they actually, in their own way, they're so clever, they condemn people if you are poor. So they're hinged on health and wellness, which is, that's not what the gospel is about. Jesus said you do have the poor with you always. That has nothing to do. He said, we didn't bring nothing in this world, surely, that we can't not, we're not going to take nothing with us. So he says, having food and raiment, be therewith content. So he says, godliness with contentment is great gain. So we cannot be deceived by these people, because the whole thing is, you want it to be well with your soul. That is what is important. Thanks for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@ATT.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of God. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. And always remember the question, have you received the Holy Ghost since you